Okay. Entertain a motion to come out of recess into public session for public hearings.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Any questions on the vote? We'll take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. At this point, I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Abbott and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or to switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And the first hearing today is conditional use under number 1988. Mr. Abbott?
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a medical office center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.3522 acres more or less. It's located southwest of Route 1, 1,000 feet northwest of Road 258. The 911 address is 14614 Coastal Highway Lewis, and the property is identified as tax map ID 235, map 16, parcel 64. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearings on this application on June the 12th of this year. Mr. Lank reminded the commission that they had previously reviewed this application as a change of zone 1740 from AR1 to CR1 on February 27th, 2014. The commission recommended that the application be denied with reasons, and council also denied the application and decided to waive the fee if they decided to apply for a conditional use. The commission heard or received comments from VLDOT, County Engineering Department, Office of State Planning Coordination, the Sussex Conservation District. The applicant was present, gave a presentation, answered questions raised by the commission. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1988 for a medical office center based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant originally sought CR1 zoning for this property, which was not appropriate. Instead, a conditional use with conditions and limitations on the use is appropriate for this site. Two, a conditional use for a medical office center is a limited use that will not adversely affect neighboring properties, roadways, traffic, or community facilities. Three, the use as a medical office center has a public character that promotes the health, safety, welfare, and general convenience of Sussex County and its residents. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to medical office uses, which may include acupuncture, massage therapy, and chiropractic services as suggested by the applicant. Two, the use shall occur within the existing structures on the property. Any expansion of those structures shall require site plan approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission and possibly a new conditional use application depending on the extent of any expansion. C, one unlighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. D, the hours of operation shall be between 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. E, the use shall comply with all Sussex County parking requirements. The required parking shall be shown on the final site plan and shall be clearly marked on the site itself. F, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements. And finally, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second, and it carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0. We've not received any additional correspondence for this application.
Any other questions, council?
Since there are no questions from council, is the applicant here or a representative of the applicant? Yes. Would you like to come forward, please, and explain your application to County Council?
My name is Jin Guazhang. My address is 3075 Stagecoach Circle, Milford. I'm a state licensed acupuncture practitioner. Yeah, I'm bought this property, try to open a clinic office, so I applied to change to conditional use.
You wouldn't be expanding anything, just what's there is what you're going to use, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, right now, yeah.
Okay, and it's all going to be for medical facility?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You understand the requirements or conditions that planning and zoning recommended, and are those conditions, are you going to be able to meet those?
Yeah, but I need to study it a little bit more, but yeah.
You will be able to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are there any other questions from council? Any
questions?
This was one that had come before council before.
Right, anyway, we went back and changed it from good. Changed it to conditional use.
That's correct. Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application?
Thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, Mr. President, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we close the public hearing on this matter, and with pleasure, the council can close the public record and
We will close public hearing, and unless there's someone in council that wants to, we'll close public comment. And Mr. Moore, read the short title, please.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a medical office center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.3522 acres, more or less, tax map ID 235-16-64 for reasons 1 through 3 and conditions A through G as given by county by planning and zoning.
Pleasure, council.
Make a motion we approve the change ordinance with those conditions as stated by planning and zoning.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson, to approve conditional use 1988 for the reasons and with the conditions as stated by planning and zoning. That'd be number 4A through G as far as conditions. We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I'll vote yes. I believe with these conditions, it's more appropriate. The change of zone would have permitted too many other uses to go in that area, and that area hasn't been overwhelmed at this point with a lot of commercial applications. So by maintaining the structure and the use of that structure, I think it's appropriate. And so with the conditions, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning, with the understanding the conditions are going to protect the community and that it is appropriate for this area, I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes. Recommendations of the changing of the planning and zoning.
And also, I also agree that the change of zone was not appropriate, but conditional use, I think, is in that area. And with the conditions placed on it by planning and zoning that we're recommending, I think it will protect the property around there. I vote yes, motion carried.
Okay, thank you.
Next, sir.
The next case is change of zone 1751 Peninsula at Long Neck LLC. Mr. Abbott?
This is an application of Peninsula at Long Neck LLC, an ordinance to modify condition number 10C imposed on ordinance number 2180 for change of zone number 1697. The application of Peninsula at Long Neck LLC for the Peninsula, a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential plan community to extend the time to construct and open for use the golf clubhouse facility. The property is identified as tax map ID 2-34, map 30, parcel 1, and others. The commission held their public hearing on this application on June the 12th. Mr. Lank advised the commission that the applicants provided a comparison of the current condition number 10C and the proposed condition for 10C. The county engineering department provided written comments. Conservation district provided written comments. Mr. Lank advised the commission that notices were mailed to 602 different owners. Mr. Lank provided the commission with comments from a resident within the Peninsula Homeowners Association. The applicants were present, gave a presentation, and responded to questions raised by the commission. There were two residents that spoke in reference to this application. On June the 12th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On June 26th, the commission discussed this application under old business. On July 17th of this year, the commission once again discussed this application under old business. They also deferred action on the 17th. On the 24th, this application was brought back up under old business. The commission discussion included concerns about how much time it would take to complete the clubhouse, that conceptual plans should be submitted for the clubhouse, that a cost estimate based on the cost of construction is needed to determine the amount of bonding necessary to protect the residents, that time is needed to allow the developer time to meet with residents of the project to determine the size of the clubhouse, that time is needed to acquire a bonding method to guarantee the construction of the clubhouse. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that commission recommend a conditional approval of the modification of condition 10C imposed by change of zone 1697 and ordinance number 2180 for the peninsula. After considering the information presented, including the current owner's position and the general approval from those who spoke in favor of the condition, it is appropriate to extend the time period for constructing the Peninsula Golf Course Clubhouse. But this extension should give the county and everyone involved an opportunity to clarify the size and scale of the clubhouse and to obtain appropriate bond guaranteeing completion of it. Also, because this is the latest in a series of delays in the construction of the clubhouse, it must be the last extension granted by the commission. As a result, condition 10C of CZ number 1697 and ordinance 2180 is modified to extend time period for constructing the clubhouse until December 1st, 2016. However, this extension is contingent upon the following events occurring. One, within 60 days of the approval of this ordinance amendment, the developer shall submit to the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission a sketch or concept plan of the proposed clubhouse with the estimated square footage of the structure. The developer shall consult with the homeowners regarding the design in the sketch plan and the proposed square footage of the clubhouse. Two, at the same time the concept or sketch plan and square footage are submitted, the developer shall submit an estimated cost per square foot to construct the proposed clubhouse. Three, within 30 days of the approval of the concept or sketch plan and square footage by the County Planning and Zoning Commission, the developer shall submit a bond or letter of credit acceptable and formed by the Sussex County Attorney in the amount of 125% of the estimated cost to construct the proposed clubhouse. Four, if the developer does not submit a new bond or letter of credit as required, Sussex County shall prohibit the issuance of any further residential building permits within the peninsula until the new bond or letter of credit is submitted to the Sussex County. And finally, no further extensions will be granted. There was a motion and a second. It carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0.
Were there any other submissions?
We did receive, I think it was by email, to Mrs. Griffith. I think she provided each of you a copy of that. Mr. G, he is here present, and that's part of his presentation.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuquay.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant. And this application was filed by Landtech Receiver Services, who was the receiver that was appointed by the Court of Chancery on behalf of Wells Fargo Bank in connection with the Peninsula development. As of May 12th of this year, the property has been conveyed by the sheriff to Aretas Peninsula Millsboro LLC, which is a subsidiary of Wells Fargo Bank. And that occurred as a result of a mortgage foreclosure proceeding that was filed by Wells Fargo, who was the lender on the original development. With me is Dan Bartok, who's with Wells Fargo. And before explaining the background of events that occurred resulting in our request, I want to kind of state clearly for the record what we are asking for. And what I would state is our concern regarding the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Well, we recognize that the intention, it's well-intended. We do not believe that it's in the best interest of the Wells Fargo, of whoever will be the future developer of the peninsula or the current owners. And for the record, you may have this, but I want to hand out the current condition and what we're requesting. The only outstanding issue or condition at the peninsula is the design and construction of a private clubhouse facility. And specifically, what we are requesting is to amend condition number 10C of the RPC approval to provide the construction of this private clubhouse commenced by October 1st of 2015, which would be the end of next year's summer season. And it would be required to be completed and open for use within 1 year from that date. The reason for that is that it would give Wells Fargo, who again just acquired ownership in May, time to market the property, to sell it to a new developer, and that new developer, with the input of the owners, would design and actually build the clubhouse. The planning and zoning recommendation that Wells Fargo, through its subsidiary, submit a clubhouse concept design plan with estimated square footage cost and a revised letter of credit within 30 days of the concept design, we believe is inconsistent with the party's best interest and what is planned for the development. And as I'll explain, we believe that that recommendation would be a waste of time and money. And we think that our request for a simple time extension is a more efficient and simpler way to resolve the issue. I'm going to summarize the background of this, how we arrived here. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. If you have questions about anything I say, I can go into more detail about it. So again, just ask me if you want more information. As you know, the Peninsula RPC was approved by the county back in November of 2002. It's a 1,404-unit mixed residential-use development with extensive amenities. Construction commenced, and as I mentioned, all of the amenities have been built with the exception of the private clubhouse. And those amenities include swimming pools, tennis courts, basketball court, pools, spas, a health and fitness center, locker rooms, saunas, massage rooms, exercise rooms, children's play areas, an indoor and outdoor restaurant, a boardwalk, a fishing pier, kayak launching, and 10 miles of trails. It's a very extensive recreational package. In 2010, Peninsula, again through the receiver, filed an application with the county to extend the original time for construction of the Nature Center and the clubhouse. They had not been built within the time frame that they were required to be built from the original approval. And in March of 2010, the County Council approved a modification to condition number 10. That modification provided that the Nature Center was to be built and open for use by September 30th of 2011. It was built, it was open for use by that date. That extension required that the construction of the clubhouse start within 3 years of March 22nd, and that would have been March 22nd of this year. And also that a letter of credit be provided to the county for 125% of the cost of completion of the clubhouse. That letter of credit, that irrevocable letter of credit, was issued by Park Sterling Bank in the name of the county. It's in the amount of $1,375,000. That was acceptable to the county when that was done. That is currently valid through March 23rd, 2015. And of course, if you extend this, that would be renewed through the completion of the clubhouse. So the letter of credit is in place. The clubhouse construction has not been started, and the application before you today for the time extension was filed with the county on March 7th of 2014. Now the question, of course, is why didn't construction of the clubhouse commence within the 3 years that you gave when we appeared before you before? Now, Wells Fargo, with having the receiver appointed by the Delaware Chancery Court, basically were securing their interest on the loans that they had made for the development of the property. They subsequently pursued foreclosure in both the Court of Chancery and the Delaware Superior Court. The process is involved. The process involved litigation. It ended up taking much more time than originally anticipated. But as I said, as a result of that process, Wells Fargo, through its subsidiary, is now the owner of the property as of May of this year. It is Wells Fargo's intention, and they are now in the process of finding a buyer for the development. basically to take over the management and completion of the development, and that would include the design and construction of the clubhouse. Wells Fargo is now actively marketing the development. They will be identifying a short list of potential purchasers in the very near future that have the development experience and the financial ability to take over and complete the peninsula. And Wells Fargo expects to complete that process and that sale this year. Now, whoever is the purchaser will be made aware of the obligation to construct the clubhouse, and it's intended that the final design and construction will include the input from the existing peninsula owners. And of course, they are the ones who will be the ultimate users of the clubhouse. Now, throughout the process, over the past 3 years, there have been ongoing discussions between the receiver and Wells Fargo with the peninsula homeowners. They are present, they are represented, and obviously they will be speaking as to their position. By granting the extension that we are requesting, namely that construction would have to start by October 1st, 2015, it will provide enough time for Wells Fargo to find the buyer, to complete the settlement, and have the new developer design the clubhouse with the input from the owners. As I said, the existing letter of credit is already in place, and it will remain in place until the clubhouse is completed. Wells Fargo is a bank. They're not a developer. Basically, what they are now is an entity that has acquired the security they had on their loans, and they're looking to sell that security in order to recover the money that they had lent in the original transaction. Any design they would do today as far as a clubhouse most likely would not be used by the ultimate developer of the property. The ultimate developer is going to come in. We don't know who that is yet, but they're going to have an intention to build a clubhouse that is designed to meet the vision that they have of this development, again, in the current owners. As I mentioned, there are substantial recreational amenities existing at the peninsula. They're certainly more than adequate to serve the existing owners over the next 14 months or 2 years or so that it would take until completion of the clubhouse, as we're requesting. And we firmly believe that it's in everyone's best interest that the extension be granted. As you're well aware, the economy has suffered through a long and severe recession, but the peninsula, with the management of Wells Fargo and the receiver, has not only survived that intact as compared to many developments that didn't, but it continues to prosper. We believe that the requested time extension will allow the situation in effect to solve itself and basically arrive at the intended completion of the clubhouse, which is what everyone intends. We think it's simpler to have the 1 year or the 14-month extension as requested, as opposed to the recommendation of the Planning Commission, which really has the county becoming involved in the process of the private sector, where they're saying, design this, tell us what the square footage is, we're going to require you to build a certain building in a certain amount. That was never part of the original approval. It was never a condition of approval. The only condition was that there be a clubhouse built. And again, that's something that the ultimate developer can make a commitment to, but Wells Fargo, being the bank selling the project, is not in a position to do that. So we would request your consideration for the condition as we proposed, and again, we'll be happy to answer any questions you have, particularly after anyone else speaks.
Any questions?
I have one anyway. I think, Mr. Fuke, a while ago you said that there's a bond or letter of credit currently in place of $1 million.
$1,375,000.
And I see in the planning and zoning minutes that Wells Fargo said there's $3 million in escrow account for construction of the clubhouse.
Yeah, this is...
The bond seems awful low to me if you already got $3 million for the construction of it, but you're only bonding $1 million.
But the escrow is money that's being held in escrow,
mm-hmm.
aside from the letter of credit. Okay, there was never any there was never any description or details regarding the clubhouse. Now I'm going back to 2002. There was just a mention that there was going to be a clubhouse, this private clubhouse. There was never any design criteria, you know, size, things of that nature. You know, I think the only way it was described was it was going to be a dining facility, it was going to have locker rooms, and I believe it was going to have golf cart storage in the bottom of it. But again, there was no representation as to what this would be. So we're kind of dealing with a vagueness to it. And that's the detail that Wells Fargo is concerned about. They're not ready to design something. They really feel that the developer should be the one to design that. The letter of credit is in place. That escrow money is in place also.
What would be, I see in your proposed conditions that you have commenced later October 1st, 2015. Within 12 months thereafter. What would be your answer to if that doesn't happen, what's next?
If it wasn't built by, if the construction didn't start?
You gonna come back for another extension?
Well, at that point in time, there'll be a new developer. Well, again, these are uncertainties, so I can't tell you exactly. I can tell you Wells Fargo is very confident that they will have a new buyer this year. That new buyer obviously will need some time to come in and make decisions on what they're going to do. And that new developer then would be building this, and they'd be aware of the fact that this clubhouse would have to be begun by October 1st of next year. I mean, ultimately, if you're saying to me, what would happen if it wasn't, you would call the letter of credit, and you would take whatever action you deem necessary as far as the county to enforce it. I assume you would say, we're not going to issue any building permits until the clubhouse is at least begun. And of course, the county always has that.
I understand. Thank you for your answer.
Just kind of a follow-up, I guess. The money in escrow, that belonged to somebody. Who was that? Was that the homeowners putting money into an escrow account? Or whose money is that escrow money? Right now, is it $3 million or something?
Dan, could you explain that?
Whose money is that?
Identify yourself for the record.
Dan Bartak. I'm an executive vice president of Wells Fargo, and I'm responsible for all of the ORE that we have around the country. That money right now is as new homes are sold and lots are sold. There's a fee being paid by the homeowner to become a member. That amount is what's being escrowed and earmarked for future construction of the clubhouse. Correct.
Okay.
So as additional sales happen, that escrow continues to escalate.
And it sounds to me like we're trying to, or Wells Fargo thinks they're going to have a buyer.
Yeah, we're pretty well into the process. It's been in the market for several months now. Actually, next week we've done what we call a call for offers. The first round of offers will be coming in.
So what are you estimating the time frame now, maybe till you get a buyer? Could you guess?
If you go through all the potential things that could happen, you know, once you select a buyer, we're going to have an interview process with several buyers. We've asked those buyers to come and talk to the homeowners as to what their thoughts would be on a clubhouse. That would then eventually make a final decision. Then they would probably do some hard due diligence, really getting deeper into the numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, all that said, we would expect a closing to take place prior to the end of this calendar year, so probably sometime in December.
And the 125% is based on this clubhouse, which nobody really knows what it's going to look like. So how do we calculate 125% of what right at this point, Mr. Fuqua? That's one that kind of escapes me, because I think planning and zoning was trying to say they wanted some design now. They wanted some size, you know, some figures, some numbers or something, right? And they wanted a conceptual drawing. Then they could base the bond on that, right?
And again, the chicken and egg problem is that we feel that.
Well, how do you propose to base your 125% bond? How would you sit down and negotiate that out?
Well, I can tell you is that the county already has accepted that number as 125%. That's the existing letter of credit.
Oh.
That's the existing letter of credit that's been in place for 3 years.
Okay, right.
So the county's already accepted that.
All right. Okay. I think I understand.
Is there anyone else, Mr. Fuqua, that you have to speak?
No.
Okay, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Sir?
Thank you. My name is John G., and I represent the homeowners.
Pull one of those speakers down.
This one's lit, so I assume from that, unless I just killed it.
That's good.
Okay.
We might give you that after it's over.
What? What, the killing or the mic? Yeah. I submitted a statement to you yesterday through Ms. Griffith. I suppose that you have. In the sake of not repeating that as you deem it not to be necessary, I'd like to perhaps lift some comments from it for your information. I assume you've all read it.
Certainly, yes, sir.
You know, it clearly defines who we are. We are a community now of 635 homeowners, which is about 200 more than the last time when we talked with you. Of those 462, approximately 75% have joined us with contribution and with opt-in to say that they are part of what we're doing. Not an unusual number, I might add, for that number of people. We are comprised of all the homeowner association presidents and those additional people that have a background both legally as well as in development and in banking. As we sit here, the Peninsula property that Wells Fargo and Redis acquired is being marketed for sale, and we believe a sale is likely to be consummated in the next several months. Consequently, whatever action this county council decides to take in response to the request for an additional extension to build the clubhouse will impact not only the present existing homeowners as well as potentially 750 additional future homeowners, but also the bank and the new developer who purchases the property. And I think you've already spoken that out. I'll raise that issue again later. We appear here today to fully and unequivocally endorse the motion unanimously adopted by the Planning and Zoning Commission on July the 24th of this year pertaining to design and construction of the clubhouse at the Peninsula. We urge the Council to approve the Commission's well-developed and carefully timed plan for completion of the clubhouse on or before December 1st, 2016, including its stipulation that further extensions to build the clubhouse will not be entertained. The Commission's recommendation allows the owner and or new developer of the Peninsula 60 days to reach agreement with the current homeowners on a concept and sketch of the clubhouse, which must include both its size and an estimated construction and furnishing cost per square foot. Thereafter, the owner or new developer would, according to the motion approved by the Commission, be required to post a bond or letter of credit in the amount of, that is 125% of the total estimated cost of the building, as you spoke of, Mr. Cole. The Commission made clear that if the owner and or developer did not comply with this timetable, no new building permits would be issued for construction of new homes in the Peninsula. The PHAC, which is our organization, encourages the Council to approve these conditions, which are entirely appropriate in the circumstances that now exist and which are also fully capable of being readily achieved. The PHAC, with its dues-paying homeowners, is ready to perform responsibly and reasonably its role in evaluating and participating in the clubhouse design and budgeting process. In conjunction with Wells Fargo, we obtained from the McMahon Group, which is also attached, one of the foremost clubhouse consulting firms in the U.S., two separate size and cost estimates for a clubhouse based upon two scenarios, one being 1,400 units, which was basically what was originally approved when this came before you in 2004. The second, a smaller number of around 1,000, which we think is probably the more immediate impact number. The clubhouse needs assessment reports prepared by the McMahon Group are attached. And by the way, they were requested before when we had assumed that in the conversation before the commissions. We thought that it should be entered into the public record because of those conversations. There's no legitimate reason for any dilution or delay in implementing the Commission's recommendations. The PAC, which is the Peninsula Homeowners Action Committee, will agree to an extension of the completion date until on or before December 1st, 2016, only if we are assured that we will have a direct role in determining the design, size, and cost of the clubhouse to be built, and that real consequences will apply if the timetable for design and construction is not met. We have been told repeatedly by Wells Fargo that it expects the sale of the Peninsula to occur in the fourth quarter of this year and that our committee will be afforded a role in vetting the qualified buyers. By establishing the square footage and cost requirements, potential buyers will be on a level playing field when submitting their bids. This level playing field will also prevent the homeowners from being shortchanged by a buyer who promises one thing and delivers less. The timetable established by the commission will moreover allow the successful bidder at least 6 months to finalize the drawings and select a general contractor, an additional 16 to 18 months to complete the project. This is a very reasonable timetable. I'll skip the history in my presentation about what has happened over the last 10 years. You're equally painfully aware of it as we all are. However, let me conclude. While the ultimate size and cost of the facility to be constructed will no doubt be large, there are three important factors the council should take into consideration in resolving this matter. One, collectively, the current homeowners have invested well over $250 million, that's more than $250 million, in our homes in this community. Two, the value of our properties has been depreciated by the repeated failures of the original developer and receiver to comply with this county's ordinance and the amendments to same by refusing to timely build the centerpiece of this community. And three, it must be emphasized that the cost of the clubhouse is not a one-off expenditure that will never be recouped by either the bank or the new developer for two separate reasons. First, the facility that is built will be owned by the new developer, and it will retain its inherent value and likely appreciate over time. And second, the construction of the new clubhouse will enhance the value to the developer of all the remaining 651 unfinished lots, especially the 70 lots in the sanctuary community, which borders the Indian River Bay. Finally, the carefully crafted process and timetable articulated by the commission requires that the ultimate decision on the size and cost of the clubhouse will be made by the bank or new developer and the homeowners. This process and timetable sets a firm, immovable deadline for completion that neither party can ignore. I might add additionally to that those comments, a couple of the things that were raised first by you, Mr. Vincent, which has to do with the vision that will be taking place of the clubhouse. One of the things that concerns us, as evident in our spoken written text, is that none of us, most of all you, might really know what the clubhouse is supposed to be. Neither do we. And we do have a good working relationship with the bank. We hope that we will continue to. But any developer that comes to buy, when they do that, we're left with no certainty of what that might be. What the commission and therein yourselves will be doing for us is providing some certainty to a process that for the last 10 years simply has not existed. We have various sketches that have been done in the past. We don't know that they've ever passed into the public view. We have some that we've reviewed, at least small bodies of us, in as late as 2010, and that we commission, along with the bank, I might add, in February, the two reports that you see before you by the McMahon Group, which, by the way, is probably one of the most preeminent clubhouse designers in the country. They've done over 1,600 of them. They've been in business over 30 years. They've advised in Delaware in four occasions, mostly around Wilmington, extensively in Maryland, as many as 75 clubhouses in Pennsylvania, just to give you a regional flair. So they're well-versed in this, and when we ask uniformly who we should go to, without doubt, generally to the McMahon Group in St. Louis, and they have met with us in that regard. So we feel like we have some background in this. Additionally, I'd like to speak to you about the escrow account, which you've mentioned. I acknowledge, having been serving on all the boards of the Peninsula over the last 5 years, that the escrow at the time that this was taken up in 2010 was a sum total of somewhere around $1,400,000, which strangely coincides with the bond that was placed. Now, to Mr. Cole's question of the escrow, that escrow has accumulated itself above that figure to a little more than $3 million. The $1,375,000 is a part of that $3 million that, in effect, secures the bond for the letter of credit. So I think it's necessary to clarify that we're talking about the same sum of money. And to Mr. Bartok's statement, he's correct. As homeowners come into the community and purchase lots and homes, they're required to join. There are three different levels. Those levels, initiation fees go into the escrow. By any calculation, a new owner taking on this responsibility will see that escrow increase to a point where it should be over the course of a normalcy of sales would take care of the clubhouse bill. If there are any questions that I can answer for you, I'd like to do that.
Phillips.
Mr. Phillips.
Did I understand you to say that the bond is secured with the escrow money?
My understanding, that's true.
So if we were to force the bond to be called, the money would actually be coming out of an escrow account that had funds derived from the homeowner's fees.
Correct.
No money comes from Wells Fargo if the bond is called, as it's structured now.
At the time, and my understanding, at the time in 2010 that you required the bond, and we were in receivership as a development, where else would you get the money from? Wells Fargo was the lender, not the owner. So as a lender, they step aside from it, and the receiver appointed by Chancery Court would, in effect, be running the property. Where would they get money from? The escrow does serve a purpose as it is intended to complete the clubhouse. So therein, I think, the rationale for using it as the collateral.
Construction of the clubhouse will not be funded from those escrow account dollars, will it?
It would depend on the language to the escrow account is written. As presently written, the escrow account is there to ensure the completion. It's not the construction fund. It ensures the completion if, for some reason, it defaults. But I might add that my understanding on a business nature is when you change owners, that new owner is able to decide how they will write a future escrow account and the language therein. So that could change. Once again, our uncertainty to the future.
You mentioned a company from out west. Was it Miller that had done some cost estimates on
McMahon?
McMahon?
I'm sorry.
In the back of the recorder, yeah. Did you get that?
Oh, there's
earlier today. Yeah, it's right there. It's in the back. It's got a whole breakdown. Michael showed it.
Here, it's from somebody.
Did you get one, Sam?
Yeah, I assume I did.
To avoid having me read through this entire document, what was the cost estimated in this study?
He used two, and I'm going to quote to you without looking at the document. He used two cost estimates. The original document, which was dated early February, he assumed 1,400 homeowners with a square footage of 50,000 square feet and a cost of around $19 million. Our response to that was to go back and say we thought that was out of balance. We thought that was too much. We'd like to have some baseline that we could operate from to understand what would be normal for a community like ours. He came back to us with the second document, I think dated February the 24th in front of you, at which time he stated he thought it would be around 25,000 finished feet, a total of around 32,000, at an estimated cost per square foot of a little over $300, a total of $11,400,000. He also used a calculation, which is on the last page of that document, page four.
Mr. G.
Yes.
You got to slow down.
I'm sorry.
Simple farm boy.
I apologize. I tend to drink from the fountain pretty quickly. So,
what was the cost of the first one? $19,000.
I think $19 million would be right.
$19 million. Yes. And the second one.
$11,400,000.
You said specifically that you paid for the first study. Is that right?
The Wells Fargo and our homeowners association split the cost of that. If you'd read the first line in the report he sent, he acknowledged that he was doing this on behalf of our homeowners association, PHAC, as well as Wells Fargo Bank.
Okay, so Wells Fargo commissioned this study.
We commissioned and they joined with us in that commission. We asked them to join us.
The first one came back at $19 million. Wells Fargo objected at that point to.
No, we did. As the homeowners group looked at it and said that was a large response, and we thought we would like to see a more moderate response given what we thought the present day was, if I might add. We calculated strictly off the back of the paper 1,000 homeowners because the difference in the 1,000 and the 1,400 to us represented a density pattern with condominiums that simply doesn't exist today. It hopefully will in the future. It doesn't now.
Okay.
So it seemed more reasonable to us that 1,000 homeowners would be, given that we're at 635 right now, would probably be more responsive.
Did Wells Fargo comment on that $19 million figure?
Well, I think we both were somewhat stunned by that number, but I'm editorializing to tell you that.
Okay. Did you have a meeting with Wells Fargo about this?
They reviewed it with us, yes.
Okay. So Wells Fargo and the Homeowners Association representatives met after the first study. Everybody in the room agreed that was too much.
We wanted to see another study.
Okay. Yeah. So both parties, again, commissioned McMahon to go back and provide a more reasonable figure based on
baseline assumptions to the number of homes in the peninsula, yes.
Okay. And they came back February 24th with a new study that brought it in at $11 million and some change.
$11,400,000 was the number that they had.
Okay.
I might also reference you to the last page of that study where they give a range of square footage per homeowner. And that range, if I recall, is somewhere between $30 and $100 square feet per homeowner, which is the range traditionally, and their study spoke to the lower end of that range. So it would seem that would say to you, we're not reaching by doing that, but it's rather moderate in its definition. However, I might also add, this is preliminary. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to go into this. This gives us some baselines to operate against, given the way the commission has couched this, which is give us time to work through it. We do have some baselines that we can begin to operate against.
Do you have a sense that Wells Fargo is comfortable with the $11 million figure?
Once again, I'd be editorializing. My sense is that Wells Fargo would like for a new developer to be able to determine what they thought the property deserved. Our concern would, while we trust Wells Fargo to the extent of conversation, as homeowners, we're worried that if we enter into an agreement that a new developer owns the place, they're not bound by anything other than their word that they'll do something. And what creates the difference between government and private ownership, which Mr. Fuqua spoke to, is that in a good marriage or union, you get the best result. And that we have you in place, it helps us a lot.
I mean, this was first heard in 2002. And in 2002, the council passed the ordinance to approve this application with a clubhouse. And it's 2014, 12 years later. Okay. I don't trust. I better hold my tongue. That's all.
Cole? Yeah, I'm just Mr. G, I'm just wondering, are we too early? I mean, should we wait? Should we all be waiting till Wells Fargo makes their deal and then we start listening to this? Because I'm still a little confused. It is a confusing issue. Are you in agreement with what Mr. Fuqua is proposing, his change to what he's proposing a change over what planning and zoning has recommended, right?
Well, I think we clearly stated, Mr. Cole, first of all, we're in approval that there's an extension. The second part about approval, from our perspective, is that we approve of what the Planning and Zoning Commission has done. It's definitive. It's
you like Planning and Zoning's recommendations?
Well, like the definition that we lack otherwise, yes.
Sorry.
We are not in any disagreement with the bank over what they're attempting to do, but we think the more definition, obviously, is better for all of us. Right. You'd prefer in your own business to know where things were going to happen specifically rather than be left.
That's what I'm sitting here saying. Are we too early? Should we be deferring on this decision, our decision, till we see who the new guy, the new people are, and how the relationship develops? You're having a good relationship, it sounds like, with Wells Fargo, and that's the unknown, whether the next step, that relationship is still cordial or adversarial or whatever. And I know developers, like anybody else, they want to do as cheap as possible, and then the homeowners are going to want as much as possible. Is there any negatives, and maybe Mr. Fuqua can chime in on this, is there any negatives to holding our decision off until this next decision is made?
If you ask me to respond to that myself, I have 11 board members here with me, so by board, 11 of the 14 are here present. I would say to you that once you open Pandora's box and let it out, it's hard to put it back in again. which says to me, in 2002, you opened it to a developer doing this. We sit before you 12 years later with still the same concerns because we left it undefined. To me, that's discomforting. And we came fully to the commission with the understanding that we supported the extension of the ordinance. When the commission chose to define that more specifically, how could we not but agree with that? I mean, anytime you have certainty in the way you're to proceed, we know full well that we have a bank and we have homeowners willing to work together for a solution or solutions. As those solutions unfold, they should not be disharmonious with any new developer that would come in. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if we were to allow that a new developer would come in under bid without specificity, and then we were subject to those conditions once they happened, I'd say there's a risk factor there.
Well, there is. I mean, the market could change.
Correct.
Like this.
And so could the developer.
And the development could come to another halt, and this new developer could just say, we're out of here, and drive off in the sunset. So,
which has, I think, happened before in this case.
Yes, it has. Okay. So Mr. Fuqua's proposition is fine with you.
Mr. Fuqua's proposition is somewhat different than mine. We both agree that we should extend.
Okay, I got you.
I think his is back to the original context of October 2015.
Okay, I understand.
All right, okay.
Okay.
Any more questions? Gentlemen?
Do you think that the one P&Z put forth is sufficient? It does not speak to value.
What put forth, Mr. Phillips?
The one that planning and zoning put forth does not speak to value. And we've established that the homeowners and Wells Fargo has commissioned McMahon to come up with a design, and that came in on the very low side, bare minimum almost, it would appear at $11,407,800. Do you think that adding to this proposed condition that figure and a bond amount of 125% of that figure to be put up by Wells Fargo with the stipulation that if it's not done on time, then building permits are withheld?
The only thing that I might add for clarification to your question is that the Planning Commission has allowed that we have 60 days to bake that in to make sure that that figure is correct or there are not other things that should be taken into consideration. But they've given us a time certain to do that. What's interesting to note is that we do have some background documents like the McMahon report that allows us to get to that point. But to establish that that's the point we're in right now, I'm not sure. I can't answer that question. I'd be answering unilaterally for 462 homeowners, and that's a difficult question to answer. Given the 60 days to make sure we were right about that, I think we could feel assured that we could get to that point.
But that says with a developer, and the developer is now Wells Fargo right now.
Correct.
Right now, right?
Right.
Okay.
They're the owner.
But they're...
Any more questions?
Yeah.
Little Council?
Are there any more people that would like to speak in favor of this application? Are there any more here today that would like to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if the council desires, can close the public record.
We will close public hearing, and unless someone from council disagrees, we'll close public record. And ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Are we prepared to read the short title, or is there any reason to consider deferring this?
The short title to defer it?
I think it'd be better for us to read the short title, and then if there was a motion to defer, okay, we could do so then.
Okay.
An ordinance to modify condition number 10C imposed on ordinance number 2180 for change of zone number 1697, the application of Peninsula at Long Neck LLC for the Peninsula, a MR RPC medium density residential district residential plan community to extend the time to construct and open for use the golf clubhouse facility.
Pleasure, Council.
Question, Mr. Phillips. If we defer this, is there an opportunity for any council member to bring it back for discussion and a possible vote, or does it go into a category that will be less available for discussion?
There is the opportunity for the council person whose district it's in, I believe, under the standard rules of procedure that are followed, that are in our rules of procedure. And after a period of time, then the president would be the one that could put it back on the agenda.
Well, we've been wrestling this since 2002, and from my perspective, I've had about enough of the peninsula. Wells Fargo may not have been the original developer, but obviously they have been involved in this to the point that they either had confidence in the developer or they made a substantial investment in this because they saw a lot of profit. Either way, for this to drag on for 12 years, to me, is unacceptable. At one point in time, we delayed it because the homeowners came forward and said they did not want to bear the cost of maintaining this significant amenity. Today, we obviously have unanimity that this needs to be built. I don't know that the council is quite ready to pass a motion, but I believe that we need to put some very strict limitations, very strict provisions that will force Wells Fargo to begin construction of a, I would say, split the difference and make it a $15 million clubhouse. I know they're not going to like that, but I'm getting tired of seeing you. I don't know. Is there any interest in moving forward with this? To wait around for them to sell this, George, I think is just irresponsible on our part.
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering if we defer on this and we've closed a record.
Correct.
So our future decision has got to be based on what we're reading here. Is what ability do we have to change the conditions at P&Z? I think Mr. Phillips said we need to have some strong language, et cetera. How much flexibility do we have to change any of the language on the proposed conditions as P&Z and what we may do?
You always have that ability to change the conditions.
We would have the ability to make different things.
Based on the record that was presented today, plus the record that was established at the planning and zoning.
Okay, if we defer, and we do have the ability to talk with staff, attorneys, and consult with them one-on-one to get clarification. I know we can't open the record, but we can talk to Shane's office and your office, right?
Right.
That's always available to us, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we can't take in other things. All right. Yeah. For 12 years, I don't think if some of the council's not comfortable with doing something here today, another week or two is not going to make that big a difference. So I will make the motion to defer, to give the council opportunity to consult with P&Z and our legal staff, and then if there are any confusion on what we're looking at here. And
can we put a two-week limit on that deferment?
We can do whatever you want. But,
okay.
But like I said, 12 years, it's been 12 years. Is there anything coming up in our calendar? Nobody's here. Robin, Labor Day is about the only thing. We have a couple weeks till Labor Day.
We don't meet the last week of August.
And the first week of September.
In the first week of September.
So we could do this on the 19th.
Which is
two meetings? 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second Mr. Phillips, to defer action on the condition number 10C for the peninsula for 2 weeks.
Is the motion only for 10C, or is the motion to defer, period, and we will return on the 19th?
Well, I thought all we're talking about is 10C.
Right.
Mr. Mr. Moore?
The motion is concerning the ordinance that I read.
Yep.
Okay. Right, which is 10C, yeah.
So the only flexibility we have, as I asked earlier, is not to change all the conditions, but only to address 10C.
Correct.
Right. That's the only application.
Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Next, Mr. Moore?
Yes.